You're listening to Modern Mystic Soul, a podcast dedicated to helping starseeds like you go from awakened to activated. My name is Therese Tucker. I'm an intuitive artist, psychic medium, teacher of intuition, and author of Confidence is Magic. And I'm sitting down to talk with you about the ascension process, the spiritual growth lessons I've learned, and how to move into a more aligned frequency so you can fully experience your destiny. Hello, beautiful souls. Welcome back to the Modern Mystic Soul podcast. I am your host, Therese Tucker. And as you might hear, I am a little bit congested this time. I have been dealing with some kind of combination of a small head cold mixed with allergies, and it's been super fun. So I'm feeling a lot better, but I sound poo-poo. So bear with me in today's show. I wanted to talk to you today about something I'm noticing. It's been going on for a while, and I'm sure you've noticed it too, but there's just such a high number of relationship changes happening. I thought I'd talk about it and some of the reasons why. You know, there's many reasons why our relationships shift and change, not always due to ascension, but there is an ascension component to a lot of these relationship shifts. And today I wanted to delve into this interesting trend I've been observing in the realm of energy shifts, because it seems that there are significant relationship shifts occurring as these timelines split, leading to different types of separations and configurations of all sorts of relationships, family, friends, intimate relationships. So we're going to dive into that topic today. So at this point, it's important to recognize that during this period of time, it's a natural consequence of the ongoing ascension and continual timeline shifts and splits we're going through. So as we navigate through this phase, it becomes evident that some individuals are moving towards the higher timeline, while others seem to feel inclined to repeat their third density experience for further learning and growth. See, at this time, we're experiencing this unprecedented shift where the goal is to achieve ascension while retaining our physical body, as I've talked about before. And this is a feat that has not yet been accomplished, not on any other planet. We're the first of the first doing this. And a good way to think about it is that Earth itself, you've probably heard that Earth is like a school, right? Well, my team says it's more than a school, it's an advanced graduate program. And there is a long wait list of souls waiting to get into this school for the challenges it presents and the spiritual growth we can achieve through going here. It's an essential part of our own spiritual journey. So how does this advanced program work? Well, the rules of this game, okay, so part of this advanced graduate program we're in is to identify the real theme of the game that's being laid out before us. The Law of One talks about this, and I like what they have to say. They sort of talk about it like, imagine that there's a game board that you're on. And for most people, when we're starting out here, it kind of looks like that Milton Bradley game, The Game of Life. Do you remember playing that game? I remember playing it as a kid. I don't have it as an adult, so I can't remember all the details. But basically, the point of that board game was to advance yourself to a certain level of status, get the fancy house and the fancy car and get the great family, right? Get the wonderful job and get all the money. And for most people looking at Earth right now, they would probably see the game of life and believe that's what they're here to do, to sort of make something of themselves out of this material world and end with all the material prizes you can get. But what you find out if you have played the game a few times, which many of us have, right? So that's about reincarnation. Or if you're an advanced soul, and you can do both, you could be an advanced soul who's played this game many times because you've been trying to work on helping the group ascend. You realize there is a higher game board that's actually the real game board. And that one is based around morals and ethics, and recognizing our oneness with all. And operating from that position, which may or may not include the spoils of the lower game board. Sometimes you can get them, sometimes you actually have to choose against them, right? Sometimes, like, for example, we've all seen this example, but you know, you could get a lot of money, but you have to do something unethical to gain it. And so what do you do? Do you go against your own morals and ethics to gain the money, or do you stand in integrity with yourself and pass on the money? That's just one small example of the many ways we can be sort of tested to see which game board we're actually playing on. And the only game board that counts is the higher game board, where you're playing with morals, ethics, and interconnectedness. That's the one you're actually accumulating points on. The other one is just really an illusion. None of those things actually gain you anything, except I would say the relationships. The relationships definitely have that higher game board component, as long as you're playing the relationship ethically, right? As long as you're not playing for a status in a relationship, but rather the interconnectedness, the closeness, the love, the being of service to others. Those who align with the higher perspective naturally advance in their graduate program and move towards the graduation, which is the higher timeline and the ascension. And I would put out there that if you're listening to this, if these topics attract you, if you're seriously considering it, you are one of those people who's playing on the higher game board. And here's the thing, you do not need to be consciously aware of either game. You don't even have to be aware you're in the school. The most important thing is to be in integrity with your values, your morals, and ethics. And if you're doing that and you don't know anything else, you're still graduating your program. So not everybody is going to consciously comprehend this process, and not everybody is interested in the higher ideals that we're talking about that actually create the spiritual growth. There are some individuals who are still deeply entrenched in the game of life version of the game board, the fake game board, if you will, and focused on the material gains and societal success that are still part of the cosmic classroom, if you will. You know, it's interesting because you'd have to think about any kind of game where you're playing two game boards at the same time. I hear there's, like, I think it's called 5D chess, right? Where you're playing multiple planes. And so certain moves you make on one game board affect another game board. And that's kind of what we're in. It's really kind of intense when you step back and look at how does this operate. And this is not to say you can't want success and material gain and to have better circumstances in your life. Of course you can. But the goal always is with integrity, with morals, with ethics. And if you're moving in that type of direction, then you can generate all those external benefits that you'd like and still move forward in your growth. Now, the other group that we're predominantly looking at here are the people who are most likely going to repeat grad school, right? They're going to repeat third density so that they can then also gain the awareness of that upper game board, of the real goal of moving through the third density, which is to learn how to find that sense of oneness with all and move in integrity with it. They're generally not aware of the ideas of ascension or the spiritual growth journey. Usually when you try to talk to them about this stuff, you see them go dead in the eyes, where it's not connecting with them. They're not interested. It's kind of woo-woo nonsense to them. It's like, oh my gosh, what mushrooms are you smoking or whatever. They just don't connect with it. And you generally see that lack of interest in these topics, and it just doesn't resonate for them. And here's what's interesting is that we've got these two distinctly different groups, these two distinctly different mindsets, who end up pairing up as study buddies in this cosmic grad school that we're in, with the intention of those who are kind of awake and aware, or at least attuned. So they don't have to be consciously aware, but attuned to the higher game board, higher timeline, ascension goals, they naturally are paired with someone who has not yet tapped into it. And the hope is that being with that person sort of awakens the awareness in the one who, let's just say, they're still asleep. They're still asleep to these facts. And that was by design. There are many, many beings here who decided to be study buddies with someone and help assist them in their ascension, not by force and not by telling them how to do it, simply by being in a relationship with them, no matter what kind of relationship, and being themselves. And in doing so, sort of like a piquing a curiosity in the other one, sort of waking them up to this idea. And so what's happening is we're seeing a huge resolving of those study buddy contracts. The student mentor relationship, if you will, is sort of resolving and coming to an end as we're moving into our final exams for this program. Up next, I'm going to go deeper into the nature of these relationships, and we're going to talk about, you know, how we can deal with these relationships and move through them as we get closer and closer to this final point of ascension. So stick around. Are you feeling stuck, overwhelmed, or unsure of your life's direction? It's time to break free from self-doubt and confusion. I'd like to invite you to join me in my Modern Mystic Mentoring Program, where you'll unlock the power of your intuition and transform your life. With over a decade of experience, I specialize in guiding you through my intuitive self-mastery method, helping you heal the past, embrace your inner wisdom, and create a future filled with confidence and purpose. Say goodbye to indecision and hello to self-trust. Join me on a journey of self-discovery and watch as your life transforms into a masterpiece of positivity and fulfillment. Ready to step into your true potential? Visit blithestarlight.com/mentoring and book your call with me today. Modern Mystic Mentoring, your path to intuitive self-mastery starts here. Welcome back. So have you been thinking about the study buddy relationship? It's important that we understand that when we took on those roles, if you find yourself in a situation with another person where it just seems that the relationship is splitting off in two different directions, and it seems to be based on a philosophy, a train of thought, a belief system seems to be a big part of it. Sometimes it's the whole thing. Other times it's a major component where there just doesn't feel like they're gelling. This was simply you offering an opportunity for growth, and it was not to impose a path on others. You weren't supposed to coerce or force. There was no need to do that. It was simply be who you are with this person, and again, pique interest or awakening in them, just naturally being you. There was nothing else to do here. And it's important to understand that if you find that these relationships are splitting, they're not progressing forward, that does not signify failure on either of your parts. It just wasn't the right timing. And divine timing is definitely a part of the plan. You don't want to force anyone to do something when they're not ready, right? It's like, imagine trying to ask a five-year-old to go to college when they don't have the basics underneath them yet. We would never do that. And I'm not comparing people who aren't fully awakened yet to five-year-olds. I'm just saying that's kind of the heaviness of what we're asking someone to comprehend when they fully haven't opened up to the idea of it. It would be too much. And where I do believe that the universe is a benevolent place that wants to support your growth. And there is no such thing as time. And there is no running out of time when you're an immortal being. You can do this as many times as you need to, right? That's what the idea of reincarnation is. It's like, hey, there are many times where we're like, I'm going there. It's like, imagine this. This is the scenario, right? It's like you're on the other side. You're fully aware of everything. You remember you know, what the mission is, what your plans are, who you're going to meet, why you're going to meet them, what you're going to do together. You know, you've got the agreements down. It's all set up in your mind. You're like, this is going to be easy. I'm going to get in, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to get out. But then when you get here, of course, your mind wipe, can't remember it. You have to start from a very vulnerable position where you're being influenced by others until you're at a state where you can stand on your own and make your own choices. But you're so conditioned by the system that all the other important stuff that you were meant to do are things that you have to like figure out. You have to, it's like trying to find a to-do list that you misplaced. And most of the journey feels like you're just trying to find the to-do list. And I haven't even done the tasks yet. And then maybe our time runs out and we get back and we realize we checked like two things off of a list that had seven things on it, right? We're like, and we go over there and you're like, okay, I'm going to do it again. This time I'm going to really prioritize relationships, or this time I'm really going to prioritize connection with myself, or I'm going to plant these seeds along the way to help me remember, right? We do all these things and we've finessed it so many times. So it's never a point of failure. It's just, what's the right combination for you to find your alignment, and what situations actually do you need to create for yourself that would trigger your memories? You know, a lot of times we think that if we're doing it well, it's going to feel good. And I have to say, there's a lot of people that I've witnessed, my own life included, who've done some things really well, and it was not easy, and it wasn't the love and the softness that brought it out in them. It was direct pressure, right? It was the threat of losing something. It was some jarring event that woke them up and out of the fogginess and brought them back to, why am I here? So we want to start really understanding that most of the growth that we're going to experience does come from catalysts that's usually negative, like a breakup, like a divorce, like a feud with a sibling or a friend, something like that, where it's so intense and so painful that it causes us to go inward and search. And there we find our to-do list. There we find some meaning and some depth in ourselves and the things that need to be healed. And so even though watching ourselves split or have things fall apart feels so wrong, it can actually be the very thing that triggers everything you've been waiting to activate in your life. And it might be the very thing you planted for yourself to waken you deeper to who you truly are, why you're here, and that it would help you grow.
Do you want to join the next Spirit Circle? Spirit circles are virtual gatherings I hold every new moon and full moon, where I'll take you deep into the cosmic codes to receive the messages on how to work in alignment with source energy. The first 60 minutes include energy attunements, journaling, masterminds, guided visualizations, and more. Each spirit circle includes a 30-minute psychic Q&A session with me to get answers from your guides and spirit team. Every session is recorded and it's yours to keep to use again and again. If you want to join me for the upcoming Spirit Circle, please go to blithestarlight.com/spirit-circles. I hope to see you there.
Okay, so now that we understand that we may have been paired with someone by soul contract to help assist in their own awakening to their ascension path. And of course, they're helping us too. It's not just a one-way relationship where only we help and they absorb. But in terms of ascension, that's what we're looking at. So you might have been paired with a person in a type of relationship where your journey of ascension is a catalyst or a spark to inspire theirs. So as we navigate these energy shifts, we're facing a choice. They're facing a choice as well, but so are you, whether or not you continue to ascend and graduate as part of this transformational period, or do you hold yourself back for the comfort of another or to conform to what the relationship is asking from you? See, you don't necessarily have to graduate, and you want to think about people who, you know, are, you can think about being in college. Just because you're in college doesn't mean you have to graduate. Many people decide that it's not right for them, or it's not time, or something happens and they can't, and so they don't fully graduate the program. And it's the same with the ascension. You can be on this path and then make a choice not to do it. However, this is a pretty significant period of time, and there's a good chance that the reason you're here, or at least a great reason that you're here, is for this ascension opportunity that we're going through now. And in not choosing to go forward could create a feeling of deep unfulfillment and FOMO, right? If we let this once, truly once in a lifetime opportunity for personal and collective growth pass us by. So how do we decide when moving forward? So especially this is speaking to people who are sort of at that precipice point now, where they feel like they're sort of caught between their own personal growth and maybe maintaining a relationship that they have. Like, they might feel like they're at a crossroads where they're choosing between one or the other. And I just want to state, this is a choice only you can make. And so my only intention here is to share information with you. Ultimately, at the end of the day, it's always your choice. But part of what we know about our spiritual evolution is that at the highest levels of our spiritual ladder, there is the level called detachment, which is about allowing what is happening to happen, right? And detachment is something that, again, it's a very high concept in spirituality. It's sort of near, if you look at the seven chakras, detachment would be related to the seventh chakra. And so it's the ability to detach from sort of the earthly world or what you think you know, and just allow what is. And this can be really tricky, especially when it comes to relationships, because there's just this innate fear in human beings of being alone. And it's one of our greatest fears as humans. I think it is the greatest fear, actually, is to be alone. And so the idea of detaching from a relationship, and this doesn't mean, detaching isn't quite the same as leaving. That's a choice. Detachment simply means that you're not holding on to an outcome. You are open. It's like, instead of having a closed hand holding on to something, you have an open hand allowing something to sit in it, right? But we still have a fear around detachment because we're afraid if we don't hold on, it's going to leave us, and that we might end up being alone, especially in respect to relationships. What we need to understand is that we're never truly alone. And this sometimes sounds like a platitude, especially if you feel like, no, I'm going to be facing true aloneness. Like, I will be living alone, or I will be on my own. And I understand that the feeling about aloneness is more of one of a physical state, but you have to acknowledge it's still true that you're never alone, especially if you understand the concept of oneness. You truly aren't alone. Everything around you is connected to you. And that this physical separation that you are worried about is actually a separation that's only very temporary, meaning that you might temporarily experience physical aloneness, and yet you can never truly be alone. And so it's this sort of existential state, really, because, again, the feeling of loneliness might be the catalyst that drives you inward to meet yourself at a deeper level. And when you start meeting yourself at that deeper level, you really understand that, yes, I'm not alone. It's a challenging yet essential part of our spiritual growth journey to practice this detachment, and it aligns with a profound shift unfolding on both the personal and collective levels, because not only are we having to practice this detachment in small ways or in personal ways, but we're also in the midst of a huge
detachment from an old system, the old earth as we understand it, to allow the new earth to come in. And we must fully detach from what we think it should look like so we can allow the new to move forward. And it is a very daunting process. It can be really scary. So here are three steps that I want to share with you to help you deal with relationships that are seeing difficulty and breakup as we move through this ascension. The first step, as always, is to practice kindness, compassion, and understanding for them, and especially for you, as you are acknowledging and going through the process of either breaking up or being broken up with in some way. And depending on the situation, it can be really tricky. I mean, a long-term relationship is one level, a family member is another level. But your ability to hold compassion and understanding and kindness allows a channel to stay open. And depending on the type of relationship and the, I would like to say, the spiritual hygiene of the relationship, whether or not this you feel this individual is someone who is open to understanding your side at some point in time or not, at least the practice of compassion and understanding helps free you from the cycle of karma. So that attachment cycle that happens when you have compassion, understanding, and kindness, it helps to keep you karmically clear from being held to an old pattern. So if it's an unhealthy relationship, it'll help you gradually set yourself free. And if it's a relationship that has a potential to be healthy again or to grow back stronger, it keeps the channel open. The next step is to focus on your personal growth. Recognize that this is a catalyst for personal growth and introspection for both of you. And you can reflect on how the changes in the relationship align with your own spiritual journey and consider how these experiences can contribute to your individual evolution. So I don't believe that anything is given to us that doesn't have a value. And if you're focusing on how you can grow through this or what this is showing you, that's the value in it. Even if it might feel uncomfortable or painful at this time, it's still bringing you something that's helping you evolve. And finally, releasing attachment and trusting the journey. We all have to embrace the concept of detachment. And if it's coming into your life, this, you know, this thing that you feel attached to, and it's breaking or dissolving or changing on you, it's falling apart or just morphing, this is a perfect time for you to find that place in you where you can feel okay with, again, releasing, opening the hand, right? Like, stop trying to hold on so tight and open your hand. Trust this process. Understand that while physical separations may occur, the connection on the soul level will never be severed. So we can practice releasing attachment and trusting the journey, even if we don't understand what it looks like while going through it. Hindsight will show you everything. So know that everyone is on their unique path towards personal growth and evolution. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's podcast. Remember, navigating through these relational shifts during a huge transition in energy is part of the collective and individual growth that we're going through right now. And by embracing detachment and trust, we will all move forward in our spiritual growth on this transformational journey. Until next time.
Thank you for joining me. Be sure to visit me at blithestarlight.com and subscribe to my list. That way you'll never miss an episode of the Modern Mystic Soul podcast, which can also be found on Spotify, iTunes, and all your favorite podcasting platforms. You can also find me on YouTube, Instagram, and Pinterest as Blithe Starlight. Until next time, stay magical.